morning. Good to see you all here again. We're back on the subject of touching the invisible, fasting and prayer, prayer and fasting. We want to remind ourselves once again of the passage in Nehemiah 1:1-11. The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah. Now it happened in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hananiah, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. Now it came to pass, when I heard these words, I sat down, and I wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and awesome God who preserves the covenant and loving kindness of those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear here be attentive, and thy eyes open to hear the prayer of thy servant, which I am praying before thee now. Day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, thy servant, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, with the ordinances which thou didst command thy servant Moses. Remember the words which thou didst command thy servant Moses, saying, if you're unfaithful, I will scatter you among the people. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, so those of you who have scattered were in the most remote part of the heavens, I will gather them from there, will bring them into the place where I have chosen to cause my name to dwell. They are thy servants and thy people, whom thou didst redeem by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech you, thine ear be attentive to the prayers of thy servant and the prayer of thy servants who delight in revere thy name, and make thy servant successful today. Grant him compassion before this man. Now I was the cupbearer of the king. So Nehemiah is writing and recording what happened. And upon hearing the destruction of Jerusalem, the wall being down in disrepair, the gates being torn and burned with fire, and the people under reproach, his heart was broken before God. So he opened up his heart to the Lord in prayer and fasting, and in so doing, caused God to move on his behalf, even that of bringing a heathen king to help him and to supply for him everything he needs as he goes back to Jerusalem. Now, when we continue this subject of prayer, we want to ask the question, what is it that it does for us as God's children when we fast and pray? What does it do for us that would encourage us to be involved in it? Well, first of all, fasting disciplines the spirit. All right? In other words, our spirit towards the things of the Lord are focused and brought into focus and intensity when we are fasting and praying. When time came for Jesus to seek direction concerning his ministry, he spent time praying and fasting. For 40 days and nights, he disciplined his spirit and body in order to find his Father's will. And though Christ was closer to God than anyone on earth, he still found it necessary to go this extra mile. He knew that fasting brings one's relationship with God to a point where it becomes an absolute priority. Fasting allows us to discipline ourselves and therefore place us in a position where we can reach our maximum potential, both mentally and spiritually. Many Christians don't see the necessity of fasting, but if Christ found it necessary, then maybe we should consider that also for ourselves. If we are to reach our maximum potential, we must know what God has to say to us individually. This calls for intense prayer, and fasting intensifies prayer, allowing us to reach into the innermost part of our spirit until we can understand spiritual things that we otherwise could not get a hold of. How many times have you heard somebody say, or maybe you've said it, "I just don't know what I'm feeling. I just can't seem to figure it out." Fasting prunes and peels off layer after layer of feelings and attitudes and experience until we get into the hard core of what God is trying to say to us. So fasting is the discipline of our spirit. You realize that you are called disciples of Christ. The word disciple comes from the word discipline. So therefore there is to be applied to us a discipline, not only in our Christian walk, but also in our prayers, so that we discipline our spirit. Very important that we do that. The second thing is fasting helps us find the will of God. You know, we need to know God's will and mind and heart in a matter before we go to pray for it. When people ask us to pray, oftentimes we just drop down and we pray, we ask, and we walk away. But the fact is, if we're to be effective in praying for them, we need first to go to God and ask Him what it is that He wants us to pray for this person. Not just what the person is asking, because most people don't know what they need anyway. They think they do, but they don't. God knows the heart, God knows the soul, God knows where they are, and He knows what they need. So as we go to pray for them, we need to ask God, "What's your thought in this? What is your mind in this? What is that you want us to pray for this individual?" And then we can come to prayer for that individual, informed and in according to the will of God. So you never have to then say, "If it be the will of God." We'll know that it is what God's mind is all about. So it helps us find the will of God. Now here's a suggestion. Spend 3 days alone in your face before God, fasting and praying for guidance when you have an issue in your life. I've used the example of marriage. Two people think they're in love with each other. They're pretty convinced that they are. They have feelings for one another. And so they want to know, is this God's will? We want God's will, they would say. So is this God's will? And so they get on their face before God and they pray. They get counselors in. They talk to counselors. They read in the Word, but they're never sure. Not sure. What should we do? What should we do? Well, I suggest again that you get on your face for 3 days before God, praying and fasting and asking Him to let Him know what His will is concerning this relationship. It may be right, but the timing may be wrong. There are just a lot of things that God can show us in that relationship that will make it, when it happens, the most beautiful thing that there is. God honors that kind of praying. As you fast and pray, He'll clear your eyes, your ears, your heart, and your spirit, and your attention will be turned toward Him, and you will hear from Him as you never have heard from Him before. That's very, very important. His leading will become clear. You'll be able to follow His plans with complete assurance of His blessing. You see, Daniel understood this principle. He struggled over a prophecy of Jeremiah. He knew that there was something God wanted him to know, but he wasn't sure what it was, wouldn't come clear. So he fasted and prayed before the Lord. He gave up the fulfilling of certain physical appetites in order to find out what God was saying to him. You know, we need to ask ourselves the question, do I want to reach my potential for God, or am I willing to be satisfied with just getting by spiritually? Do I desire the applause, the praise of others more than the praise of God? Or do I want to fulfill my appetites? Or do I want to fulfill God's will in my life? What is it that I want to do? It's very, very important that we understand that. Now, as we take a look at our personal lives, our daily schedules, we'll see that we are consumed with fulfilling our fleshly appetites rather than our spiritual ones, and I think we'd be appalled at how much time we spend on one rather than the other. Then we turn right around and complain. God doesn't speak to me. God doesn't talk to me. I don't hear God. He seems so far away. What are we going to do? If we expect God to reveal His directions and will for our lives, then we must put Him first. Often this means putting aside the fulfillment of our physical appetites so that we can focus our attention on Him. Then I would challenge you. We need desperately to understand that importance. Now, there's another purpose for fasting as well, and it's called fasting aids us in our repentance. Fasting is often associated with personal repentance and confession. For example, let's say you have a habit that you can't overcome. You know there's a truth that will set you free, but somehow you cannot find it. And you've tried everything, and yet you still have no victory in your life. So you begin to fast, and at first the struggle, as Satan attacks you with everything he knows is effective against you. He says things like, do you really think that this is going to work? Putting doubt in your mind. Or he says, what is your family going to think of you? Are you some kind of a fanatic? Or besides, you're not supposed to tell anyone that you're fasting and everybody knows, so do you really think this is going to be effective? You're just wasting your time. Or perhaps something else like this. You get down on your knees to pray, and you're serious. You really want to talk to God and get His attention about an issue that's in front of you. And you get down to pray, and the next thing you know, you're waking up. You fell asleep. Or maybe you got down on your knees and you began to pray, and all of a sudden your mind was filled with all of the things that you have to do that day. The letters you have to write, the phone calls you have to make, the people you have to visit, all the appointments you have in the day, and you just cannot focus on what it was that you got on your knees for. Where do you think all these things come from? They come from the enemy, and we need to recognize that. Too often we just rush it off or wash it off or push it away and say, oh, well, I was sleepy, or I didn't get enough food to eat, or I've just got too much on my mind. We always make these excuses, but the bottom line is the enemy is attacking us. Instead of being discouraged, which we often are, we walk away discouraged, and we begin to judge ourselves over that issue, self-condemnation, and when in fact we should be encouraged. Encouraged because the enemy is attacking us. And he wouldn't be attacking us if we weren't doing something right. He wouldn't be attacking us if he didn't know we were on the path to victory. So instead of getting discouraged and stopping, and saying, well, this isn't going to work. We need to get on our knees and stay there and pray through until there is a breakthrough and God gives us that victory that we are seeking in His name. You see, God knows what your heart is and where it is and what it is that you desire. But He wants you as his son and daughter to come to Him. And in coming to Him, make your request made known and to be consistent and persistent. All right? Satan's certainly going to be persistent. He knows that when one of God's children repents with fasting and prayer, that God will cleanse that child and remove the strongholds and then use him mightily. And he doesn't want that to happen. He knows that when we get going to God in that way, that we'll see ourselves in a new light. We'll see the sin, the wickedness, the carnality in our hearts, and we will repent. And we'll see ourselves as we've never seen ourselves before. So Satan does anything that he can to keep us from getting too serious about our faith and certainly about our prayer life and our repenting and our confessing. Listen, there is no incident in the Bible anywhere of people fasting and praying and repenting when God did not release His supernatural power in their lives. That same truth and principle is true today. If the body of Christ fasted and prayed one day a week, God's power would be released as we've never seen it before in our lifetime. Churches would be filled. We'd have to be looking for places to put chairs. People would be in no hurry to leave this service. Instead, the fellowship would be so great that they would stay. And through our confession and repentance, we would free God to send the revival that this world needs so desperately. So fasting is not necessarily every time we confess sin, but it serves as an outward sign of genuine sorrow and grief over sin. It shows God that we're more concerned about correcting our relationship with Him than we are about fulfilling our fleshly appetites. Are you and I at that point in our lives where we would say, I want to be everything that God wants me to be, but I just can't seem to get there? Things seem to be in the way. Some kind of block there, something's holding me back. Then I would challenge you. Repent. Spend a day alone with God in fasting and prayer. Tell your family what your plans are without making a big deal of it, and then do it. Or perhaps there's some family problems going on and you and your wife need to fast and pray together, and God will bring healing and show you the sin on both sides and allow you to repent and cleanse you of it and bring you into the relationship afresh and new. Or maybe it's a whole family situation where you need to get the entire family involved. A day of prayer and fasting for the family to come together. Now, we got to stop here this morning, but when we come together again, we're going to see some more of the things that fasting brings. One of those things is how He has used prayer and fasting among His people to move nations, even in the middle of war, and how He has protected nations accordingly. Also, the accomplishing of God's work. How do we get His work done? And then last, spiritual awakening. How God wants to move in His church, on His people, and through them then to the world. Let us pray.